Hello, we are Real Life Lovers. I'm Diana.
And I'm Murph.
And you're listening to Ménage à Trois, where we discuss your hearts and parts.
Each episode, we invite a third party to join us in the sack. We'll be chatting about relationships, sex, and every goddamn thing in between.
Today, we are very happy to have Chris Gethard.
Chris Gethard is a comedian and author based here in New York City. We're happy to have him.
He wrote the book, A Bad Idea I'm About to Do. You know him from The Office. You've seen him on Louie. He makes an appearance in Iron Man 3.
And also, you can watch every Wednesday live at 11 p.m. on the Manhattan Neighborhood Network, The Chris Gethard Show.
All right. We like to wine and dine our guests. So
what
we always...
is that music? What is the music?
It's the most sensual thing you've heard.
You guys
heard
immediately proclaim yourself real life lovers accurately. What a weird way to start a podcast, you guys. It was so sexual. It's the most sexual podcast I've already done.
Nice.
Already.
That's
intro
what we
already.
Like to hear.
Yeah, just in the intro is already super sexual.
Well, it's about to get sexier. Whoa. Because we have your favorite beverage.
Indeed.
In studio.
Yeah,
which
we like to wine and dine our guests. We're classy folks, so we like to enjoy whatever beverage you.
Oh, that's good.
Favorite.
That's good.
And what? Let's. Mr. Cucumber.
Mr.
The original cucumber soda. Right.
It's delicious. It's the best drink. It's a great soda.
Now, the first time that I had tried this, the first time that we had sampled one of these was at your 4th of July party.
Mm-hmm. At your parents' house.
At my parents' house in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And they've since sold that house. No more 4th of July parties.
That's sad. That was a nice little backyard and pool. And we had this soda because you brought some exotic sodas.
I shipped Mr. Cucumber. You gotta. It's very hard to find. It's a very hard to locate soda, but in my opinion, it's the best soda.
Well, Murph and I, this came so highly recommended that we ended up stealing a Mr. Cucumber from Chris Gethard's house, and we've had it in our fridge since the 4th of July last year because
no
we were going to use
the
it
case.
In a cocktail. So
you guys could have just told me you were taking one. We're very good friends. You and I see each other
I wrapped
every
it
single
in a bathing
week.
Suit.
Diana, we've known each other for years. You could have just taken
it
one.
It just feels sexier to steal. You
it
know,
was
sometimes
exciting.
You're like, let's
I do feel
swipe
weird
a cucumber.
That two good friends of mine stole from me at my parents' house. It makes me wonder. What else was taken?
But then
just
again, no,
the
just
cucumber.
The soda. Just the soda. But then again, we brought it back around now.
It's so
six
good. Look
later.
At that light green tint. And
it's
it does.
Beautiful.
It tastes exactly like cucumber and it has a real good sugary taste with no aftertaste. And I think it's just the most refreshing beverage.
Yeah, it's not too sweet, but it's very sweet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is. It's the.
You enjoy it. You're both.
I love it.
Love it.
Good.
I absolutely
good.
Love it. We were thinking of mixing something in with it. Use it as some sort of maybe like a rum or.
I think you
mojito
put it.
Kind of
I don't drink myself, but I think you put a gin in there.
A gin?
Ooh.
A little gin cuke.
I like that.
A little gin cuke, man. That's the name of a great cocktail. Little gin cuke.
Nice.
Dude, you got it. Taylor, you should try some of this.
Our producer is trying.
It's really good.
The soda.
Have you had it before?
Coveted Mr. Cucumber.
You can't buy this thing. I found a place in upstate New York. Really good, right? Yeah. I found a store in upstate
Taylor
New York
it.
That sells it. But they only sell the small bottles. You guys got
we got
the
big,
bottle.
Boy.
Well, when that's we steal, we steal the biggest
Do you mind if I get
bottle.
This little?
No, take that. Take that.
All right.
So our first segment we're going to slide into here. Is...
I hope you're in the mood after having your favorite
I
beverage.
I am. I think it's really smart of you guys. You give me like a comfort food that makes me feel really relaxed. That's my guard down. And then we talk about fucking.
Mm-hmm.
And That's how we roll.
I see the psychology behind this maneuver. This is not a purely kind-hearted gesture.
Never.
No, there's motive behind that. There's sexy motive behind that. Yeah. So our first segment we're going to do is a little something called Sexy Science.
All right. Ripped from the headlines, Chicago public schools to start sex ed in kindergarten. This is an article from foxnewsnow.com. What's up with that?
Well, it's kind of what's going on with that? Chicago public schools have passed for their curriculum where starts in kindergarten, goes through 12th grade, and each year there's going to be a little bit more.
It's age appropriate, so it's not spring anything crazy on a kindergartner, but it's the idea that the more informed people are, they make better decisions about their body.
It seems an inappropriate age, but I also was raised in an Irish Catholic neighborhood where I was told nothing forever.
Do you think it'd been better?
And it made sex a completely terrifying thing.
Right. So you kind of wish you'd had something.
They told
like
me
this.
When I was in middle school, when we first had sex ed classes, no joke, I remember this distinctly. They told us you could get pregnant from blowjobs. And it was clearly just because they didn't want all the
That's
kids blowing
true.
Each other.
Misinformation.
It was not true. And I think I was in college when I was informed otherwise.
Oh, man.
Every blowjob in high school, I was like, fuck. I'm like, I had to sit down and really consider, like, okay, am I ready to raise a child?
Am I ready to be a dad?
Am I ready to be a dad?
And that should not, you shouldn't have to have that weight on your shoulders after a blowjob. I feel like those are the ones.
No, I still to this day have anxiety with blowjobs. Let's get into it, Murph.
Let's do it.
My weird sex ed memory is my sex ed teacher, Mr. Wieland, wouldn't really go into anything, but the sex ed teacher across the hall, this was in seventh grade, was giving kids all sorts of special info that wasn't in the science book. And he told everyone that the inside of a vagina feels like the inside of your cheek. So they left like fifth period.
Everybody's rolling the tongues around.
All of us just in unison rolled our tongues in our cheeks.
They all had their finger in their mouth. And we're like, what are you learning over there? And they told us. And for days, you know, this is middle school. Everyone just had their hand in their mouth feeling the side of their
cheek. I guess that's accurate. Is that accurate?
I think it's probably pretty close. Yeah. I mean, yeah, those. Yeah, it's close enough. It's still odd to throw out there.
Yeah,
but it's definitely close enough because
it's a weird. It's a weird.
But that's
thing
the only thing I remember.
Tell you,
I don't know anything else about sex.
We had a gentleman named Kenneth Moles who was our health teacher, and he was a very tall, very sweaty man. And
I applaud your dedication to naming names.
Oh yeah, I'll just outright name him Kenneth Moles. I hope somehow he hears this. Not sure how, but he may. But he was a big sweaty man, and he was so intense. Like, he definitely went the route of, like, I don't want to ever feel awkward or make the kids feel awkward, so I'm always going to be really intense with my instruction. So he would always do this thing where he would say the only way you can get AIDS is blood-to-blood contact, and he'd, like, slap his hands and throw them out there. Or he'd be like, semen-to-blood contact, vaginal secretion-to-blood contact. And he would do this. And as he was doing it, he was sweating so profusely. And I always used to think, like, is sweat also a way? Because I just incorporate him, like, clapping and shouting about different secretions that could make HIV. And I was always like, is sweat? Because it was just so scary. You'd, like, huddling over hovering over the kids in the front row and just sweating profusely onto their desks and talking about secretions.
Yeah,
like
sweat flies off him and goes into your eye. And
you're
just
like,
left
sweat to eye contact?
Panicking the rest of the class.
No, I know. It's terrible.
My sex ed teacher, her name was Miss Vlasic. And it was the exact sex ed class you would expect to be taught by a Miss Vlasic. She was a very nice but Muppet-voiced lady.
Yeah.
Vlasic kind of sounds like a body part.
And then you're going, like, I remember her putting the condom on the banana and being like, and you want to make sure you have the side that rolls out. And if you poke it with your penis, you may have what's known as pre-cum on the condom. So don't use that condom and flip it around. It was like, oh, God, Vlasic.
Vlasic, what's known as pre-cum.
Vlasic. Talk about pre-cum with Vlasic.
Oh, but see, I think that's why... I think instead of relying on just one teacher to try to spring so much on you at one time, I feel like spreading it out a little bit would probably help.
I'm sure.
So you're not as...
I also think, you know, from what I hear, it seems like kids are starting younger and younger these days. Another actor who I did a show with, he's a senior in high school, and this kid talks to me about doing MDMA, and he says he just told me, again, I shouldn't even say the story he told you because he's probably easy to figure it out, but tells me about, like, bedding older women when he was, like, a sophomore in high school. Like,
yes.
All this stuff where I'm like, whoa, this kid grew up way faster than I did. And, you know, I won't get into his stories too much because I don't want to out him. But from what he tells me, I'm like, whoa, man, they need that education earlier.
They do, and I think older siblings helps. I didn't have any, but I think that can help. But it's still going to be maybe some misinformation, because if no one's getting it, I just think enough information so that you have what you need to know to be safe and to make good decisions is always better to, I guess, get earlier. I hate it. There was that commercial that was on during the Super Bowl that's just so disturbing to me. We saw it again
before
a movie. It's like a car commercial.
The dad is driving his minivan. His wife's in the... sitting shotgun, their kid's in the back.
Yeah.
And the kid says, Daddy, where do babies come from? And the dad just
Oh yeah,
gives this elaborate, scrambles to not give his kid, like, that's a chance to give him like high quality scientific information, and he just makes up this like ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. And the bit
bails.
Is like
he bails like a coward,
he bails big time. Yeah, he bails might as well have just jerked that wheel
and driven the whole family off a cliff.
Yeah, I mean, just be a man about
that's
it.
That's a big leap. That's a big leap. To go from hiding information to your kid to intentionally killing your whole family.
Well, I believe that man would do it. I have no respect for that.
You're not
gentleman.
Selling any Hondas with that, for
no,
sure. But...
No. It was a failed attempt at commercialism.
All right. That brings us to our next segment, Listener Love.
Listener Mailbag.
These are listener-generated questions. This comes to us via Twitter from Tim in Tallahassee, Florida. I have a really hot cousin through marriage. We're not blood relatives, and we flirt all the time. Can I hit on my cousin? Can Tim hit on his cousin? Not a blood relative. Thoughts?
I would say he could. I would just say be prepared for the consequences from the family, because even though it's not blood... I feel that taboo is still hanging.
Blood to blood contact.
We all just made awkward eye contact about it. Genetically, there's no problem, but yeah, I mean, be ready to never talk to anyone you're related to ever again. Like, also, I don't want to be closed-minded, but of course that question comes to us from Tallahassee, Florida.
Yeah.
Of course.
Tim.
Of course the question about fucking your cousin comes from Florida.
Oh, man.
Of course. Right?
Yeah. No, that's
goddamn Tim, living stereotype. My problem is you fucking your cousin, it's you being a stereotypical Floridian with no morals, you dirtbag. You Florida dirtbag.
Right, and I'm kind of wondering where they're flirting all the time, too.
Yeah, is it like footsie under the Thanksgiving table? I don't know. I don't know exactly where this flirting is going on. Or I guess through, I don't know, Facebook and emails, maybe they're sending some.
I'd say there's a lot of fish in the sea. You don't have to get with the fish that you're related to.
Yeah, it's the whole royal. It's the Royal Tenenbaums. It's the whole Royal Tenenbaums right. conundrum with the yep. adopted sister and whatnot.
Yeah, well, Margot was so special.
That is
Margo,
true.
Tim, what is your cousin like?
Yeah, is she anything like Margot? But yeah, Tim. So don't be prepared if you do cross that boundary to be both judged as a Floridian and also bounced
excommunicated
from your entire
family. Rightfully so, Tim. I mean, enjoy it if it's worth it, but your aunt and uncle will never like you again.
Okay.
All right.
So much fun ringing that bell.
You did.
I loved it.
All right. So this next one comes from the Capitol, Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Jonathan sent us an email, and he asked us, "Every time I'm having sex, I feel like I'm going to shit myself. I haven't yet, but I have been making excuses to avoid sex. Help!"
Oh, Jonathan.
Go to a doctor, asshole. Stop emailing weird podcasts and go to a doctor immediately.
Your insides are failing you and you're emailing a podcast.
Every time you have sex, you feel like you have to shit? Go to a gastroenterologist. We are out of our league here.
But he's all the way in D.C.
Yeah.
There's no doctors in D.C.
No gastro guys. Yeah. No good gastro guys.
You can't find medical specialists in the nation's sixth biggest metropolitan area.
No. And I wonder also if it's like, maybe you go to the gastro. Maybe he did, and they said, there's nothing wrong with you physically. Then what are we dealing with?
Oh, if it's a mental thing.
Yeah.
Or just like, you know, when you try to have sex after a big meal? Because you're like having a romantic evening, and that's not a good time, maybe.
I know. I
just scheduling. It could be a scheduling.
It could be
issue.
A scheduling issue.
My guess also is that
it happened to me. Once.
This is if this is a physical thing. This is a more of a stomach thing than a sexual thing. Maybe he needs to change his diet.
Right.
Like, you need to avoid that gluten.
Yeah. Yeah, there's too much, definitely too much gluten.
Okay, watch out for that gluten. That
go
lactose,
gluten free.
That lactose
right,
and gluten,
so,
man.
Jonathan, watch out for gluten and go to a doctor. All right, our third and final question comes from Jake in Charleston, South Carolina via Tumblr. I'm dating a woman who is 25 years my senior. I'm 21, she's 46. My family is against us getting married. Can this work?
Damn, Jake.
Jake.
See, I think, 21.
21 and 46.
I'm pretty liberal with things like that, especially once you reach. I don't know.
If it were
like
50 and 75, no one would care.
No one.
Well,
would care.
Someone would care that someone was going to pass away at some point soon. I think once you reach that geriatric stages, the 50-year-old's like
the family wouldn't.
No. Yeah, 21 is like you just were able to go to bars and start hanging out and drinking, and 46 is AARP. Stages, yeah, I don't know.
And my issue too is this is a 21-year-old guy, and a 46-year-old woman is probably past the point of having kids, and this guy's got about 20 years in the modern world where he might decide that's a thing he wants to do.
Right.
That's the most realistic issue. That being said, kudos to you for getting that cougar, man.
Yes, that is a yeah.
And
I mean,
kudos to her. I feel like that's often in that situation, people will pat the guy on the back, like, you know. But good for her too, man. Finding that younger man, I think that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping to be banging 21-year-olds when I'm 46.
I hope
if something happens to Murph.
Yes. Well, I am 1 year your junior.
I was just trying to do the one month.
Well, when I'm when you were 31, I was 30. So we just call that a year. And yes, yikes. I hope to still be around at 46. I would say so. If I'm not,
do you think of me as a cougar?
Yes, the 1 year I want to think of you as a cougar. Yes, you're more
right.
experienced.
I'll think of you as my pool boy.
My dad is 5 years younger than my mom. They started dating when he was 16 and she was 21.
That's statutory rape.
We saw an SVU about that.
My mom raped my dad.
Yes.
Oh no! I've never thought about it like that.
She's a predator.
I've never thought about it like that, but it's true.
Yeah.
Oh no!
You should get a bumper sticker. All right. So, Jake, it can work, but ask yourself if you want to have kids and do some soul searching, right?
That's right. Well, now we have our own set of questions that we like to fire at people. This is six sections.
Oh, wow.
Questions about sex.
Okay. Questions about
sex. I get it. I got it.
All right.
I knew what it meant.
That portmanteau was lost on you. all right. So, now, and we're going to keep these quick. We're going to snap these, and we just want you to, the first thing that comes to your head.
Number one, would you rather have 10,000 sexual partners or one life partner?
That when I was younger, 10,000, but now I'm settling down.
Number two, what's the sexiest animal?
What's the sexiest animal? Squirrel.
Who is your number one celebrity crush?
My number one celebrity crush? You know who I've been feeling lately? Is Anne Hathaway. I like big teeth. I like a big toothed woman.
Big teeth?
I do. I historically love a woman with
big
teeth.
You like to be chomped on.
I just think big teeth are like a sexy...
horse.
I like a horse toothed woman.
Yeah.
Anne Hathaway.
Number four, what's the best song to have sex to?
Oh, it's so hard to think of a song while another song is playing. I Only Have Eyes for You by the Flamingos.
Nice.
Damn.
Or Crimson and Clover by Tommy James and the Shondells.
That's my favorite song, by the way. Hot tub, backseat, or bed?
In context of this question, hot tub. I mean bed. Realistically, a bed. But a hot tub if I get the chance.
Okay.
I'll soil a hot tub.
And finally, what is the single most important characteristic you look for in a partner?
Nice to me. Just be nice to me. That's all I want at this point. I've dated a lot of people who are just not nice to me, specifically. Nice to other people, but just not me.
This has been six sections.
I hit the bell myself on that. Uh-huh. I broke this sad eye contact of that overly truthful answer with a little bell action.
I love the
That
bell.
Was sweet.
Can I explain squirrel?
Please.
That's a versatile
animal. Because then you
went
horse.
That was the only answer I understood.
That's a versatile animal, a squirrel. It plays in the treetops, on the grounds. It can jump through the air.
Okay.
It's an animal that thinks in many different ways, and it attacks from many different angles.
It loves nuts.
It loves nuts.
Okay.
The squirrel. All right, so our next segment that we want to do here is we like to put the spotlight on one of the power couples. So this episode, we're going to take a look at Sid Vicious, who is a legendary heroin user and bassist for the Sex Pistols.
And Nancy Spungen, a big-time groupie, just professional groupie, I think. And so a couple we refer to as
Sid and Nancy.
Sid and Nancy.
That's not just you guys.
We, oh, really?
We everybody calls them
what?
That.
It's everybody just calls their two that. Names and like put them together.
There's
like
a movie. Everybody, oh. Everybody.
All right. Well,
we'll do some soul sorry. Searching after this.
We'll come up with a better name for them. They'd be Sansy, I think, in today's vernacular. Fuck me. All right.
Or Nid.
I like Nid.
All right. So this is kind of a sad couple, right?
Yeah.
We know how that ends.
Yeah. Dead.
Death. It ends in death. But while they lived, what made them? Because we kind of like to explore, like, what the hell does make a power? Some couples are just, yeah, they're a couple. They're together. Nobody gives a shit. They die or they break up or they stay together and they move on. But Sid and Nancy definitely are a power couple. Why do we think that is?
Well, I think there's something kind of sexy about like loving someone to death. Like you don't want that to be like super pervasive or we'd all be fucked. But like those couples that are like, if I can't have you, no one can. Or like the passion's running so high that like, you know, shit gets really fucked up in the end. There's something romantic about
it. It also wasn't an image thing. Their deaths validate that they weren't like, that wasn't like a construct. Like Johnny Rotten, I think you feel like he was kind of a businessman.
Right.
Sid Vicious killed someone and then killed himself because he loved her too much. Like he was the genuine article. He didn't just put on a leather jacket and some safety pins.
No, he lived it.
He killed it.
He stabbed his girlfriend.
Yeah.
That's love.
But also, here's a question I have, if I can go there.
Mm-hmm.
Is don't you feel like whenever you hear about something like that, they must have been having the best, that must have been their best sexual relationship?
Yeah.
The craziest, someone that crazy that you'll kill them and kill yourself?
Because the passion level, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to be, I don't know who said this, but I'm going to steal it and not be able to credit them. But it's the idea that you can only really kill someone, unless you're just a complete psychopath, but you can only really kill someone that you have had love for. You can only truly hate someone that you've had love for because you feel the passion in both on both sides to both extremes.
Well, yeah. And like in this couple, I'm just guessing like the highs were so high, like the sex and
I've dated passion. One person who I thought might kill me, and she was very good in bed.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I always say stabbed because it just sounds cooler, but really more cut. But I was stabbed by a woman, same kind of thing. Dated for several years. It was a very passionate relationship. She was a passionate woman. But he then came at me at a knife with a knife at one point, and I was able to wrestle it away and was only cut and not stabbed. So I think she was attempting to kill me, I believe, was probably the end goal there. But
now, can I ask you this? You two are real-life lovers, and we're saying that inflicting death on someone could actually be a sign of care. Do you think you two would kill each other if the night was right and the passion was high?
I think so, but I think we're trying to put that off as long as possible. We're trying to just like milk as much love and healthy.
Until you're 46 years old and you're looking for that 21-year-old pool
boy.
Well,
yeah.
And then I get killed.
But Murph, you would agree that there's potential that Diana would kill you or vice versa if the night was right?
I guess after just saying that you have to have that kind of passion, then I would like to think that you'd be able to. I would like to think that she was capable.
I think it'd be like something weird, like we just drove off the road. Like, I don't think there'd be like one of us like, I don't
if I were going to kill you, I'd kill myself. I'll say that. I will at least say that if I were going to kill you, I would make sure that I would be a
murder
suicide.
That's romantic. Yeah. That is slightly romantic.
No, that's, I feel romanced right now. So the high highs, low lows, power couple.
Sid and Nancy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Our final segment.
All right. This is
flying by. This has been fun.
Yeah. Sex
also,
is fun.
Also, every index card you guys have looks like John Wayne Gacy wrote it.
Serial killer. See, I usually am the one that has the serial killer handwriting, but this is all Diana's handwriting.
Those look like a maniac wrote them. Those look like an intense psychopath wrote
them. If Murph like is injured or goes missing anytime after this podcast, it's all going to go towards me.
The proof is in the handwriting.
Okay. Our final segment is we take you on an OK Cupid date.
Mm-hmm.
Damn,
feel that internet
hot.
Love.
Modem. I remember that noise.
So we try to take you on a date with someone, a real profile that someone we think you'd have a good time with. We're just going to kind of tag team the.
So we'll play the date.
Okay.
The two of us will play the role play.
We're going to do a role
play.
Yeah,
a little bit of improv. Mm-hmm. So we found a profile for you, D's Smiling Eyes.
Okay.
There's a few Z's in there. So we're just going to go on this date.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Chris.
Hi, it's so nice to meet you.
Oh, very nice to meet you. I'm a very powerful woman, just so you know. You look like you're looking at me as if...
Very submissive man.
Oh, all right. Well, this is immediately a 1+1 scenario.
Stop looking at my teeth, Chris.
I'm sorry. It's just I do admire a woman with larger teeth, and I'm happy to... I hope it doesn't offend you to say that. I think...
It doesn't.
You're very beautiful. You're very beautiful, and your teeth are a major factor in that.
Well, thank you. I my oral hygiene is top shelf, but I'm more than my teeth, just so you know.
Oh, believe me. I see you as more than teeth, and I look forward to getting to know you.
Let me tell you what I'm really good at. I'm really good at numbers.
Okay.
And I'm really good at skating. Roller skating.
Roller skating, not skateboarding.
Not skateboarding, okay. Just roller skating. Okay. Four-wheel roller skating, no inline business.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite trick is the figure eight, because it combines my love of numbers with my love of skating.
That's great. I'll tell you, I'm not great at math and haven't roller skated in years, but I'd love a chance to keep up with you if you don't mind helping me back up when I fall.
Oh, consider me a supporting net that will catch you.
I'll do that.
Fall.
I will consider you that. I'll happily consider you that.
You know, we've already really discussed the first thing that people notice about me, which is my teeth.
Mm-hmm.
But what is the second thing you noticed about me?
The air of confidence, I would go ahead and say. You seem like a very confident woman, and I'm happy to be here standing by your side.
Thanks. My favorite book is Nancy Drew. I know it's weird to be an adult who loves Nancy Drew, but I have a nostalgic connection to it, and I find myself rereading that series over and over again.
Can I ask you something about that? You said, is there a specific, I mean, that's a series. Is there a specific book? Because you just referred to Nancy Drew as one book. Do you consider the whole series one book?
I've now purchased the entire series in one volume, just called Nancy Drew, mm-hmm. and it includes every book in the entire series. I just kind of read it in one... You know, one sitting. Yeah. In fact, I read every Nancy Drew in one sitting.
Well, I'd love a chance to be your Hardy Boys.
Oh,
damn!
Whew. Let me just take a sip. Ah, oh, that was hot. Well, I'll tell you something. There's a few things I can not do without, and it's my roller skates, it's my dental floss, it's my volume. Collection of Nancy Drew. It's a really strong blanket for the winter months. Anything you can't really do without?
I mean, there's a number of things that I have an affinity for. I'm just going to say this. You know, I really enjoy you. Where are you from? Because your slow, measured style of talking is a very distinct accent.
I'm from Florida.
Florida. Okay.
Tallahassee.
That explains so much. That explains so much.
On a typical Friday night, if I've already read my Nancy Drew for the day, I'm sitting down in front of the fire with a big bowl of gluten-free pasta. What are you up to?
On a Friday night, I'm usually, you know, I really enjoy the New York City lifestyle. I like heading out with friends. I like seeing movies. I like finding music shows to go to. It's part of why I enjoy New York City, is you can kind of jump on a subway and who knows where the night will take you.
That is
spontaneous fellow, I'd like to think.
That is one of the glorious things about New York. You know, I feel like we're really getting to know each other, which makes me comfortable. And when I get comfortable, I like to share things.
Great.
Just trying to really, like, come up with the most private thing I'm willing to admit. Well, I guess this is taboo in some cultures, but I had a 15-year marriage to my twice-removed... twice remarried, so it was like a cousin who was married to just some person, and then I ended up marrying them.
Great. I've never been married, and I have no interest in entering into a family-driven psychodrama, personally, but I'm not judging at all. You know, everybody's lived through their stuff. I have massive depression issues myself, so if you don't judge those, I won't judge the fact that you've dated your, what sounds to be a cousin.
Married.
Yes, married. Through flowery
legally.
Language, hiding the fact that it was your cousin you married is what
legally.
It sounded like.
Legally.
Okay.
That's remarkably fair.
We mm-hmm. used our grandparents' rings.
Hmm.
Yeah, we had shared grandparents, so we ended up just using their rings for the ceremony.
Oh.
But it wasn't a blood thing, so it was fine.
Great. I'm sad a lot of the time. Oh. I'm really sad a lot of the time.
You should try roller skating.
Roller skating.
I got a skeletal deformity known as nail patella syndrome, and I have very bad knees, hence my fear of roller skating.
Well, maybe I could put you in a red wagon, tie you to my back, and skate around Central Park sometime.
I can't tell you how much I would like that. I can't tell you how much that appeals to me romantically.
I'll pull you around like a horse.
Oh, God.
And then I'll look over my shoulder with my horse teeth.
Dress me up as a Boy Scout. Dress me up as a Boy Scout and put me in that wagon and drag me around. Oh,
that's a second date.
That sounds awesome.
So you are saying that you would like to go on a second date, perhaps?
You know, I'm open to it, yeah.
Let's call it a wagon date. Let's set it up and call it a wagon date officially.
Okay.
Can I kiss you?
Yes.
Stop. You're kissing my teeth.
Stop. Please stop.
Call me. All right, that was a hot date.
That was weird.
For a first date? I mean, I have not had a first date like that in my entire life.
She could stab you. That could end well.
Oh, yeah.
She seemed like someone who would consider that down the road at some point. All right, well.
Let's wrap things up here.
That's it.
We've sprinted through
it. I thought you guys were going to ask me about like my favorite sexual positions and background and my own sexual history and...
Thank you so much, Chris Gethard, for being on the show.
If you want to just start rattling off sex positions you enjoy.
No, that's okay. I was braced for that. I like this direction much better.
But you were prepared to just get down and filthy.
Yeah, but I was a little worried about if my mom ever heard that version of it. Right. I think this is a much smarter angle to take.
Oh, thank you.
Well, how about this? You tell us your favorite sex position, and I'll tell our listeners your website.
I can just say the name of the website on my own.
And I could just say what sexual position you enjoy.
Let's do it
that way.
Why
do you know that?
TheChrisGethardShow.com.
Reverse cowgirl.
Nailed it.
Okay, you can reach out to me, Diana, at Diana Mulcahy on Twitter, or Murph at Murph Meyer on
Murph
Twitter.
At Murph Meyer on Twitter.
We'd like to thank our producer, Taylor Moore.
Doing a wonderful
Lovely
job.
As always.
Keeping us together. And you can also email us at menageatrois.radio@gmail.com. Email us some questions, comments, thoughts, sexual positions, anything really. And also check out our website, menageatrois.radio.com.
Thanks for listening.
Sensual jams provided by French Horn Rebellion. Hear more at FrenchHornRebellion.com. Ooh.